Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
In Canada, a number of years ago, a little two-year-old girl wandered away from her neighborhood. It was an extremely harsh and cold winter day, and her parents alerted the neighbors, and they saw some tracks in the snow. But there were a lot of other tracks, too. So for several hours, the searchers went in all different sorts of directions, calling out the little girl's name. They didn't find her. A little before sunset, one of the men said, instead of us all working separately, let's join hands and form a long line and walk through the field together, hand in hand. That way we cannot miss a single square foot. And that's what they did. They joined hands and together they walked as one long line, calling out the little girl's name. Until tragically, they found her frozen body curled up in the snow. And with great anguish, one of them said, oh, if we had only joined hands sooner. If we had only joined hands sooner. My friends, what if the universal church, the church with all its various denominations, joined hand in hand together? What if we, as St. Paul exhorted the Romans in our passage this morning, accepted each other just as Jesus has accepted us? But Scott, so many parts of the church disagree on this and that. How then can we walk hand in hand? Well, I am reminded of the great saying, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Christians should be united in the fundamentals of the faith, what the canon of Scripture proclaims and what is professed, and the creeds and the historic councils of the church. And yes, every Christian needs to know the Bible and church history. Hear what Bishop Lancelot Andrews had to say about this. One canon, reduced to writing by God himself, that is, Scripture is God-breathed, two testaments, three creeds, four general councils, five centuries, and the series of the fathers in that period, that's the church fathers, the centuries that is before Constantine, and the two after, determine the boundaries of our faith. The Catholicism of the first six centuries is what historic Anglicanism believes and embodies. And this is what Bishop Lancelot Andrews has spoken, and that's what I firmly believe as well. But any Christian should be able to affirm Scripture as God's word and believe and say the creeds. Every Christian. So in essentials, unity. But what of the non-essentials? Should the priest or pastor wear dress shoes, or should they wear sandals and boots? I think we all know my mind on this one. Should the music be a band on a stage, or a choir and an organ, or a cappella? Should the sermon be 45 minutes in length, or the length of a sitcom? And of course, the list goes on and on and on. But in non-essentials, liberty.
Amen.
Yet what of charity? Well, the Christian church has done a lovely job at that, hasn't she? Perhaps the reason why there are 33,000 Christian denominations in the world is that we haven't demonstrated charity in all things. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, Paul writes to the church in Rome. You see, Jesus, God in the flesh, came to embrace the weak, the frail, and the broken, namely you and I. Therefore, Jesus is the example that we are to imitate in the life of the church. Those stronger in the faith should consider those weaker in the faith. And the strong are not to lord it over their weaker brothers and sisters. They are to bear and lift up the weaker ones. For truly the Lord Jesus, who is strong and mighty, came to carry and support us all, the weak and the feeble. What then does it look like for you and I to live out what Paul is describing in this letter? Well, let us dive in this morning to get a better understanding of what in all things charity means. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Romans 15, verse 1. Now one day, the renowned preacher Charles Spurgeon was walking down the street when suddenly a man took off his hat and he bowed. And the man said, "The Reverend Mr. Spurgeon, a great humbug." Spurgeon likewise took off his hat and replied, "Thank you for the compliment. I am glad to hear that I am great at anything." In all things, charity, my friends. As we know, brothers and sisters in Christ have often struggled with this. In chapter 14, the apostle has written on the danger of criticism within the body of Christ. Something I would exhort all believers to recall every once in a while too. But you see, there was an issue of food in the Church of Rome. Some thought it was only good to eat vegetables. Obviously, I would not be in that camp. But others thought that it was okay to eat anything. So Paul states in 14:3 that those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. And this acceptance is key, for it takes us to the heart of our passage today in 15:7. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. So let's get real here for a second. Christians struggle with accepting their other brothers and sisters because they are forgetful. Forgetful. Therefore, let us once more return to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For it can be easily misplaced, like losing your car keys. We've got to hold on to it, man. We've got to hear and be reminded of the gospel once more. But what is the gospel? Just what is the good news? You know, the clergy of a big diocese was precisely asked this question, and not one single deacon or priest could answer it. What is the gospel? Therefore, check out Paul's definition of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news, that is the gospel, I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. And skipping on to verse 3, I passed on to you what was important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. Behold the gospel then. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised on the third day. Let's say that together. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised on the third day. Paul says that's the gospel.
Amen.
You see, the gospel is about King Jesus, who calls you and me and the world to enter his eternal, unshakable kingdom. The only ticket into this kingdom, the only entrance into this new life under the king's rule and reign, is through what Jesus has done for us. We don't pay for the ticket. Jesus paid for it with his very life. We don't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps thinking if we are just good enough, we can enter into the kingdom by our own merits. We only enter by the merits of Jesus. That's the gospel. For as the praise song put it, I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. I'm accepted. He was condemned. I'm alive and well. The Spirit lives within me because He died and rose again. Sing it with me. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. Oh, it's my joy to honor You. In all I do, I honor You. What good news the gospel is, my friends. We are forgiven and accepted through the merit of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Let us not forget it. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He didn't come to please Himself, and neither should we. So accept each other just as Messiah has accepted you. In all things, charity. This past week, my family was in Florida, and we thought it would be a great idea to see a coastal dune lake. A coastal dune lake. Breathtaking. And after we had walked for about 10 minutes, one of my sons said his legs hurt and he was tired. So I picked him up and I carried him a little while, and then I set him back down on the ground. Then the other son wanted to be carried, and we walked a bit, and then I sat him down on the ground. And then both of them wanted to be picked up at the same time. So I picked them up, each one in an arm, and thought of Sergeant Myrtle. I'm too old for this. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we are strong and others are weak. Sometimes we are weak and others are strong. Yet we are called not to criticize each other, but to lift one another up. And again, Paul would have us see Jesus, the strong and mighty King Jesus, who carries you and me, the weak and feeble ones. He carries us all the way over the finish line. So we lift one another up when we think upon the servanthood of King Jesus. Jesus came to the Jewish people because God always keeps His promises. He always does. And Jesus came to show the nations the riches of His mercy and His grace. Therefore, Paul doesn't give us one or two or three, but four examples from the Scriptures pertaining to God showing mercy to the Gentiles. That is, to the non-Jewish peoples. That is, the world. Accept one another just as Messiah Jesus has accepted you. How easily we forget the gospel, my brothers and sisters. We must have a firm grip of it always. We must stand firm in it, for when we remember what Jesus has done for us, when we recall how we are accepted through the merits of Jesus, then we look to the horizontal of how we are to accept one another. Not in criticism, not in lording it over one another, but in charity. In all things, charity. And as we bridge this passage with our own day, we can take away a couple of things. Firstly, one reason why there is such a lack of unity within the universal church is because we haven't a firm grasp of the gospel. Messiah has accepted us, therefore we accept one another. In essentials, unity. But if clergy and laity don't know the gospel and can't articulate the gospel, then we can't even agree on what is fundamental to the faith. Hold tight to the good news of Jesus, my friends. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised on the third day. Only by and through His merits do we enter the life of the kingdom. And liberal Christianity wants the kingdom. They just don't want the King.
That's right.
Secondly, because we are accepted in Jesus Christ, we are to be filled with hope so that it overflows in encouragement with one another. Our hope is not just any hope. It is a living, confident hope in Jesus. This feeling and its overflow happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. For it is the Spirit that knits each member of the body of Christ together. When one of us is weak, may one of us who is strong remind us and encourage us in our hope in Messiah Jesus. And in this way, we will live in harmony with one another. In this way, we accept one another because we cannot encourage one another in our living, confident hope unless we know and remember the gospel and have our eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And thirdly, this whole passage screams living in incarnational community. It screams it. You can't lift up and bear the weak from afar in the way that Paul is writing about, in the way that he's describing. And the hope and encouragement that Paul writes about here is not just something to be given in a letter, or in our day a text or an email, or a private message on social media. It's something that is to be given face to face, flesh to flesh, in tangible, incarnational community. Remember, Jesus became incarnate in this world so that we could be accepted through his perfect and all-sufficient merits and sacrifice. And we too must become incarnate in the community of the church so that we can accept others, lifting them up, bearing one another, to finish the race of faith to the glory of God alone. You see, truthfully, we all need one another. We really do. Don't believe the lie that you're self-made, that you're an island. We need one another. Some days I am very weak and I need you. And some days you are very weak and you need me. And we lift up and we bear one another in charity. In all things, charity. This Advent season, my friends, I want us all to ponder where we are in the big, grand old story of God. It's breathtaking. It's beautiful. The church is between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. You see, you and I live, as Sandra McCracken sings, between the almost, not yet, and already. And we look at the church in our time, and what we see is disunity. We don't see unity in essentials. What we see is non-essentials being elevated to essential status. And we don't see a whole lot of charity either. Accept one another as Jesus has accepted you, Paul writes. You see, the gospel changes everything. And when it is forgotten, when it slips away, when we don't stand firm in it, we forget who we are. The forgiven and the accepted in Christ Jesus. And we forget to lift one another up, and we forget to bear one another. And so we criticize, and we put each other down, and we lord it over the other. But imagine with me, when Jesus returns in great glory at the second coming, to judge the living and the dead, and to usher in new creation, to make all things new. Imagine when he comes back for his bride, the church. His people won't just be Anglicans or Baptists. They won't just be Lutherans or non-denominational. The bride of Christ will consist of people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Every part of the universal church. Every part. And when folks then look around and see others in new creation, two things I think will happen. One, wow, I never expected to see you here. And two, wow, the Lord is incredibly merciful, gracious, and kind.
More than we are.
My friends, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Until that coming day when Jesus ushers his bride to a new heaven and a new earth, may we, the church, in essentials, keep the unity. May we, as church, in non-essentials, take on a posture of liberty and freedom. But may we, his church, accept one another as Messiah Jesus has accepted us. In all things, charity. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, Give us grace to take to heart the grave dangers we are in through our many divisions. Deliver your church from all prejudice and everything that hinders us from godly union. As there is one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, so make us all to be of one heart and of one mind, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and love, that with one voice we may give your praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God in everlasting glory. Amen.